The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Having some fun on the Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can also join us on phone line or text line 713-780-3776. I got a tweet. This comes from R. Bari. Check out the schedule and let me know if you still think that the San Francisco 49ers are the best team in the league. A texter brought this up as well. They have a really easy schedule of late. Beat the Rams 31-14 on October 30th. Beat the Chargers 22-16 on November 13th. I think you could argue that Justin Herbert wasn't 100% at that point. They beat the Cardinals 38-10. That's a Cardinals team that was going down the toilet. They beat the Saints 13-0. The Dolphins 33-17, but that was where all the issues with Tua Tagovailoa, I think, actually started to pop their ugly head again. And Tua hit his head, I think, in that game. They killed Tom Brady and the Bucs 35-7. They beat the Seahawks 21-13. That game was not as close as indicated, and that's what the 49ers are going to play on Saturday. That's the early afternoon game. They beat the Commanders 37-20. They barely beat these Las Vegas Raiders and Jared Stidham 37-34. That was the first place where you saw the 49ers defense. You're like, what's going on here? Maybe it's not as great as you thought it was. 38-13, they beat the Cardinals to wrap up the year. Yeah, that's an easy schedule. I'll admit that. I just think, though, that if you compare them to the rest of the teams in the NFC, who do you feel like definitively is better? I love the Eagles' pass rush. The Eagles have, like, every single name defensive lineman. In addition to Jordan Davis, they still have Fletcher Cox, who I was surprised is only 32 years old. They have, like, Ndamukong Suh's, like, on the roster. I don't even know if they use him that much. Brandon Graham's still there, the guy who helped them win the Super Bowl with the strip sack of Tom Brady. And there's a bunch of other ones whose names are eluding me right now. Like, the Eagles' defensive line depth is terrifying, to the point where Hassan Reddick is, I think, second in the NFL in sacks, and he's a linebacker. Like, the Eagles just have a ton on the defensive side of things. And I do like Jalen Hurts a lot, and I'm really happy for him the season that he is having, because there were a lot of doubters for him. He's always dealt with doubters, and he's done a great job. But there is a part of me that feels like the Eagles are not playing their best football right now. Hurts even said, like, I'm glad that we have a bye week this week because his shoulder's banged up. The Cowboys conceptually should be better, but, like, I don't know what to make of what the hell happened to Dak Prescott in that game against the Commanders. He sucked. He was so bad. What the hell? And I mean, the turnover thing this year with him, too. Ugh. You know, they once again are a team that looks like they're going to shoot themselves in the foot. But anyway, Saturday night's really important for the Houston Texans, because I think Saturday night's going to tell us a lot about what we can legitimately expect out of Trevor Lawrence the remainder of the year. And I'm just going to stand my ground here. I have never been a believer in Trevor Lawrence as a guy with the potential to be one of the top quarterbacks in the game. I was listening to a couple of scouts in a podcast, The Athletic Football Show. I think it was Randy Mueller along with Mike Sando, talking about Lawrence's limitations. And Lawrence overthrows wide receivers a lot. And I think Randy Mueller described Lawrence as stiff-wristed. And by that, he meant he doesn't have touch. I think he's going to suck on Saturday night. And again, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Hold me to it. But he played horribly on Saturday against the Titans at home, to the point where Josh Dobbs almost beat him. And we have crowned Trevor Lawrence in a way that I think you would only do if you know that a quarterback like Trevor Lawrence is playing in a town like Jacksonville. There's not a lot of pressure on him. There's not a lot of coverage of him locally that makes it out to the national forefront. People seem to believe that he is already legitimate. And while I had a little bit of pushback with Justin Herbert being that kind of guy going into the year, I watched enough Justin Herbert this season to feel otherwise. I think that game that he played against the Chiefs where he busted his rib and was playing with busted ribs for, I would say, the majority of the season, I felt like in that game he proved he's tough, he belongs, he's the kind of guy that you at least want to have, and he's at least a top 10 quarterback. Lawrence has been put into this territory, and I just do not, for the life of me, understand it. I don't. And I think he's going to be exposed on Saturday by that Chargers team, which is saying something, right? Because we're talking about the Brandon Staley-led Los Angeles Chargers. Brandon Staley, who inspires no confidence either. A Chargers team who has regularly melted down in the biggest moments. And here I am saying that they're going to make Trevor Lawrence melt down. I think Lawrence is going to poop his pants on Saturday. It's going to be bad. And I'm going to enjoy every second of it, not just because I can't stand Clemson and Clemson fans, but also because I like to see people who believe someone is a true NFL prophet. I like to see those believers have their faces rubbed in the dirt and reality to set in. Sorry. I don't know what that makes me. You all know I'm a hater. But if Lawrence plays poorly on Saturday, aren't you going to feel a lot better? The Texans are a joke, and you're still going to feel so much better about where they stand if Lawrence and his terrible haircut suck. And look, long hair can work for some people, but when long hair makes you look like you might play women's college basketball, that's not ideal. Lawrence's lack of facial hair combined with his hair, I'm sorry, it just doesn't work out. It just doesn't work. And some people, you know, they stay true to their look. Anthony Davis, I'm the brow. Pluck it, dude. Pluck it. I'd have a unibrow too. I pluck it. I would. I mean, look at my foresty face. I have a Joseph Stalin-esque mustache right now. Look how big this thing is. That would be literally on top of my head, too, if I didn't pluck the middle of it. Imagine me with two mustaches on my face. Like, one's my eyebrows, and one is just a mustache.
That'd be a great look.
A look I can brand myself off of.
Yeah.
Much like Trevor Lawrence has.
The only man in America with two mustaches. Paul Gallant.
I mean, it's a bad look. I think Lawrence is going to get decimated on Saturday. I hope it happens. I really do. If I'm rooting for anything this weekend, it's not for the Seahawks, who I used to cover, because I'm not a big Geno Smith guy. I kind of want that one to go off the got the rails as well.
You're writing him off.
It's not even really Tom Brady that much. It's not even that much, you know, because there's a part of me that actually does want to see the Cowboys advance. Oh, that's controversial to say if you're in Houston. I like Micah Parsons a lot, and I feel like the Bucs don't deserve to be in the playoffs, but that's neither here nor there. The thing I'm rooting for more than anything this weekend is for Trevor Lawrence to get stuffed in a locker.
Is Micah Parsons your favorite non-Tom Brady?
Yes.
Player in the NFL?
Oh, no, not even close. I love Micah Parsons. He's funny when he talks, and he's an absolute destroyer out there. And I'm the only thing that I have as a criticism against Micah Parsons is when
he wears number 11.
No, is when the online mob forced him to take back, like saying about Joe Biden, like, you're not our president. That was the most badass thing I've seen a player, specifically a black player, do in the NFL, because there's so many people that are going to go against you when you say something like that. And then, of course, he walked it back. But, like, what an accurate take for anyone out there. Like, I'm not voting for you because you brought Brittany Griner back. Like, who else feels that way? I would imagine a lot of people in our country.
I'd say most Dallas Cowboys fans.
Right. Anyway, sorry to go off on a political tangent. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You were right on that, Sean. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Coming up next, it's our pick six. We're going to pick all the games with the spread that are going to take place this weekend. We're going to save the Monday Night Football game between the Bucks and the Cowboys for Monday. So it's really a pick five. But one of these three games, the ones featuring the bad quarterbacks, we're talking about Dolphins-Bills, the early Sunday game with Skylar Thompson under center for Miami. We're talking about in the Sunday Night Football game, probably either Anthony Brown or Tyler Huntley under center for the Ravens. And hell, screw it. Let's throw the Seahawks and 49ers game in here where it's a beleaguered Geno Smith. One of these games with massive lines is going to be a good one. Which game will be the good one? We'll discuss that and pick these games next. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. There's a lot of games you can watch this weekend.
He's got another one! Unbelievable! He is gone! Kiss McKinney goodbye!
But Paul Gallant is going to pick six games.
There's six.
Pick six.
Well, that's got pick six written all over it.
You need to watch.
This is exactly what we needed.
First game tomorrow. Seahawks at 49ers at the old Bell Bottom. I guess the West Coast is getting crushed by some inclement weather. There's supposed to be rain and wind. San Francisco, a 9.5-point favorite. So theoretically, weather could be the great equalizer. Geno Smith, a very confident man, irrationally confident, but confident, and he's had a great year with the Seattle Seahawks, had this to say when asked about this season being a fairy tale for the Hawks.
I would say it's not a fairy tale. I think it's very much reality. And I think where we are as a team is that, you know, we've been working hard, man. We put a lot of good stuff on tape as a team. I think we've came a long way since the beginning of the season, since training camp and OTAs. And it's all just a result of the hard work and all the repetition that everyone's put in.
Okay. I don't believe you. This season hasn't been a fairy tale. Look, they have found some pretty impressive players in this year's draft. Tariq Woolen is a really good cornerback who is 6'4" and really fast. I don't know how he fell to the fourth round. I'm not a scout or anything like that. It just feels like he is the archetype for every single corner that you would like to have in the league. Kenneth Walker, the running back's been damn good, stepping in for a always injured Rashad Penny. They found some offensive linemen early on, too. Like, there's a lot of things to be excited about in Seattle. But, man, Geno Smith is the kind of quarterback who would be the best backup in the league based off of what you've seen this year. But what you've seen over the last month or so has been all of the bad habits that he had as a quarterback, not just with the Jets and other previous stops, but at West Virginia, he forces it a lot. San Francisco, 9.5-point favorites, and I know that weather can sometimes be the great equalizer. And that also, Pete Carroll going up against Brock Purdy a second time means that San Francisco might have a difficult time moving it. But the Seahawks are going to be without Jordan Brooks, one of their best middle linebackers. I do not think that this will be the close game. As badly as I want it to be, I do want to see the Seahawks win it. But I think that San Francisco is going to cruise because Geno Smith is Geno Smith. So I will take the San Francisco 49ers and the 9.5 points.
I think the Seahawks cover this.
You do?
I still think they lose by a touchdown or, you know, the eight or something. But I do think that they can hang with them close enough. Brock Purdy under the bright lights of, oh, I guess it's going to be Saturday, like 1 p.m. local time. But still, in a playoff setting, I just want to see it. You know, like, I just want to see a seventh-round rookie. He's played well. I just want to see him in the playoffs once before I
totally
pick him.
Fair thing to
against, like,
at
a real team. Like, a real team with a good coach.
It's really funny that we look at Brock Purdy so much differently than Skylar Thompson or Anthony Brown, two other third-string quarterbacks who could be playing this weekend.
I think we look at Brock Purdy like he's, like, a, like, sure thing. Like, I feel like we the football media kind of just looks at him as if he's just Jimmy Garoppolo. Like,
yeah.
He's still Jimmy Garoppolo.
And to go back what I was saying in the last segment, I'm with you, Sean, in that, like, I'm not a Trevor Lawrence guy, but at the very least, Trevor Lawrence has had good games in the league. Brock Purdy's had good games, too, but we're talking about a six-game stretch for a third-round rookie, and there always is an adjustment period for teams across the league. So there are some people who I think, Sean, like you, believe that a little inclement weather, throw that in there, Pete Carroll going up against this guy again, this could be the game that actually is a good one. And I hope it is, because it's a bummer of a way to open the playoffs up if it's just Geno Smith getting destroyed by Nick Bosa every single play. Saturday, 7:15, it's the game I talked about in the last segment. Chargers are 2.5-point road favorites in Duval against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Mike Williams injury is big, and the last time that these two teams played, the Jaguars kicked their ass. But I do think this is a different Justin Herbert at this point. I do think the Chargers have a great deal of pride in themselves, and I think that they will show up and win this one on the road. I hope it's a good one, but something tells me that Trevor Lawrence is going to make a couple of mistakes, maybe a pick six he throws to Derwin James, that makes this one an uphill battle regularly for Jacksonville. If the Jaguars, however, commit and do what they have sneakily done all season long, run the ball with Travis Etienne, all right, maybe we're talking about a different story here, but I am going to take the Chargers of Los Angeles, formerly San Diego Superchargers, the 2.5-point road favorites.
I'm, like we said early in the week, I'm jacking off. I'm going with the Jags. I think it being the Saturday night game is perfect. I think having that atmosphere that we saw on last Saturday, having that probably ratchet up another notch. Also, I believe in Doug Peterson more than I believe in Brandon Staley, who Mike Williams has been officially ruled out because he was playing in just absolute garbage time last week.
Yeah. There is a part of me that is getting annoyed with how often we rest players in sports and how many games have become meaningless over the course of a season. But that was a bad move by Brandon Staley. It is one that should be criticized. And if they don't have Mike Williams along with Keenan Allen, is that Justin Herbert offense going to be what it can be? It definitely makes you think twice about that. Sunday, noon, Miami Dolphins are 13.5-point dogs against the home team Buffalo Bills. That said, Buffalo-Miami games this year have been close. This is the one that I believe will at the very least see a spread covered. 13.5 is a lot, and while I have no faith in Miami to score, I do have faith that the Dolphins, who don't rush defensively, they, for whatever reason, have found a way to frustrate Josh Allen and that Bills offense. Buffalo did look good against New England in the Week 18 finale. Allen made a couple of incredible plays, and it does seem like his elbow's doing a lot better. It seems like he may have had the elbow issues going all the way back to that first game between Buffalo and Miami. Whatever the case, I just feel like Miami knows how to frustrate the Bills' offense. So I think that they will keep it close in that it might be final score 21-6. Something like that. Although that wouldn't add up. So like 21-10. I feel like, you know what? That's pretty funny. I just totally butchered that. 13.5-point favorites. I can't do math on the fly. Classic radio math. I think in this game, though, that it's going to be lower scoring than you'd think, because Buffalo's just going to have a tough time getting it going.
I think the Dolphins are going to get whacked. I think it's going to be like Georgia TCU.
You think so?
Maybe not. I mean, not 65-7, but I think it's going to be pretty. This is a college football semifinal game most years.
This one is just so obvious, though. Like that's part of it too. Of all the games this weekend, the Bills 13.5-point favorites against the Dolphins. Vegas knows what they're doing. This is the one where I look at it and I'm like, it's so obvious to take Buffalo here. Like, the Dolphins have lost a million games in a row until they beat the Jets 11-6 to make the playoffs.
I think it's last week because they won 11-6 and two of those points were on the last play.
Yeah, was a true. It was safety. 9-6.
So they won 9-6, so they scored 3 field goals. Paul, you're going to need touchdowns to beat the Buffalo Bills. Touchdowns. I don't know if Skyler
Thompson.
They're
not going to beat him. They're not going to beat him. I just think they keep it close.
I don't think they do that.
Just have to lose by 13.
I think they're going to lose by 20.
Okay, fair enough.
Their defense is going to be tired because Skyler Thompson won't be able to move the ball.
We disagree. Sunday, 3:30 on Fox. The Vikings. Here's another funny one. Only 3-point favorites at home against the New York Giants and Daniel Jones. This is one where everyone's picking the Giants to cover at the very least, if not actually outright win this game, because nobody believes in Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. I got to take the Vikings. I feel like some of the hype that Brian Daboll is getting with what he's done with this team is merited, but I also think that there's clear limitations with this team, which is why he's probably one of the front runners for Coach of the Year. again, they found a way to make Daniel Jones work. It's one of the reasons that offensive coordinator Mike Kafka is somebody that the Houston Texans should be looking at. This is one of those games, though, where people are getting too enamored with the idea of the Vikings sucking. The Vikings will win this game. They will lose in the next round. It will be very Kirk Cousins-y. I have a hard time seeing the Vikings losing to the G-Man.
This is the game that they win on, like, a last drive touchdown. Like, I feel like they're going to win, but it will be every Minnesota Vikings game this season.
Oh, 100%. Like, I think the Giants are going to keep it close.
The Giants will have a 3-point lead with 2.5 minutes left, and then the Vikings will go down and score a touchdown. Like, that's just how it's going to work.
I think they'll probably win by 4. Like, just knowing the way that things have gone for Minnesota. And you're right. It'll be like a Justin Jefferson touchdown on 4th and 28 or something like that. The whole game, we will be like, oh, my God, why?
These guys suck.
Why? I'll be thinking this the whole game. Why didn't I pick the Giants? Why didn't I pick the Giants until the very end? And I'm like, that's why. Because the Vikings weirdly are clutch. The Giants are limited. Todd the Show, who I know is a Giants fan in our Twitch chat, says Daniel Jones has been a lot better this year. There's no denying that. Jones has had a good season. And I'm very curious as to what the Giants do during the offseason with Jones. Sunday night football. Baltimore Ravens, 9.5-point dogs against the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know if Baltimore will score in this game. Because it doesn't seem like any of their quarterbacks are practicing. Any. And I mean, in a game where, yeah, it was somewhat important because the Bengals didn't want to have a coin flip determine who had the home game this week. I think if you're Baltimore, how are you going to move the football with Anthony Brown under center? And now that the Bengals have tape on Anthony Brown, how much worse is it going to get? Cincy's defense, solid. Cincy's offense, explosive. I like Cincinnati to win this one in a rout.
Yeah, I really wanted to find a way to, you know, it's a division matchup, playing each other the third time. But, I mean, just looking at last week's game and then fast-forwarding it, like, what's going to change in a week? I don't think much is going to change in a week. The only thing that could have changed is Lamar Jackson being healthy enough to play. So, yeah, I think the Bengals take care of business.
Okay. So that's going to wrap up our pick 6. We picked 5. We'll talk about Cowboys and Buccaneers on Monday. The Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. One of the biggest Turd Fergusons in the NFL has finally been exposed. We'll talk about him next.
ESPN 97.5. You locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call and to text as well on the HRP listener line. Let's go to Eric. Eric, what's up?
Yeah, I just want to say that you give Brock Purdy all this praise with a great team, but you're over there hating on Trevor Lawrence with a crappy team. Just because Trevor Lawrence has long hair and looks like a chick.
Well, what praise did I give to Brock Purdy? I mean, look, he's done a great job, but I think we're all wondering what's going on. But with Trevor Lawrence, I think that he has been crowned before he needs to be crowned. I guess you could make that same argument that other people are saying that about Brock Purdy, Eric. But I think with Trevor Lawrence, the guy overthrows passes on the regular and lacks touch with the throws that he makes downfield. And I'm just not a believer. I'm just not. I wasn't when he was at Clemson. I felt like he was in a fantastic situation there, much like the one that you're describing with Brock Purdy, where he's in the ACC. He's going up against, you know, shaky ACC caliber other teams. And here he is. And I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback by any means. The Texans certainly should want someone like that. But I think that people are trying to put Trevor Lawrence into that top 12 quarterback conversation, and I just don't think he is there.
Well, this is his second year, and he's taken the Jags to the playoffs when everybody predicted him to be in last place.
Did you see him play on Saturday night, though? I mean, isn't it fair to have questions about what he's going to do in a big-time spot when he stunk?
Well, if he plays well on Saturday night, are you going to give him praise?
Yeah, if he plays well on Saturday night. I'm just not expecting it to. And I take a look at it. I mean, winning the AFC South, making the playoffs out of the AFC South. Okay, Trevor Lawrence, I guess, led them there. But, I mean, is that impressive? This division's terrible. The Titans were the best team in the division until all those injuries hit them. And Josh Dobbs at the end of the year is their starting quarterback. And you can see why they lost every single game down the stretch.
Well, look at Trevor's coach last year. Who was it? That dirtbag.
Yeah, Urban Meyer.
Yeah, but now he has Peterson. Don't think he's going to form into a great quarterback?
I have no idea to say yes or no, but I look at Trevor Lawrence right now, and I don't think he's a great quarterback, and I'm operating in the here and now. And that's what I'm talking about on Saturday. I think Lawrence is going to have a meltdown.
But you're giving Purdy, like, he's the next Tom
Brady. I haven't
said
anything about Purdy, Eric. Stop. Bye. I'm done. I'm done with you. This is one of those things where you're continuously saying something that I did not actually say. Clearly a Jags fan listening. Whatever. Look, I'm not a Trevor Lawrence believer. Why should I be a Trevor Lawrence believer? Why should anyone be a Trevor Lawrence believer right now? That's the biggest game he's ever played in the NFL, and he wasn't good. Last year, everyone blamed Urban Meyer for Trevor Lawrence. Shouldn't a great quarterback be able to rise above his coaching circumstance? I felt like last year, people gave Trevor Lawrence too many excuses. Oh, Urban Meyer, he's Satan. Okay, like, he's not lining up on the field. Maybe he's not the best guy to have with a rookie quarterback. We're talking about the first overall pick in last year's draft, who everyone said was a can't-miss guy, who was going to dominate the NFL as soon as he stepped in. He was going to be like Andrew Luck. He has not been anywhere close to Andrew Luck to this point. Luck came in, and Luck had some issues that I didn't like. I thought Luck was a little careless with the football, which is a little ironic given the fact that he was as nerdy as he was. But Luck stepped into the NFL and succeeded right away. I still haven't seen it with Trevor Lawrence. And yes, he's had some great games, no doubt about it, but this is a totally different element. And I feel like people are trying to do with him what they have done to an extent with Justin Herbert. These guys are, in my opinion, I'd even say the same thing about Herbert. There's a pretty clear gap of separation between them and the consistency with which Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes play and with the just raw ability of Josh Allen. And I suppose holding quarterbacks up to that standard in the eyes of some is unfair, but sorry, I'm choosy when it comes to my quarterbacks. And I think a lot of people put a lot of stock into this Trevor Lawrence for reasons that I don't think are legitimate at this point in time. What are you basing it off of? Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. I guess if you have a thought like Eric. Don't tell me, though, that I'm saying that Brock Purdy is great. Where did any of us say that? 713-780-3776. Let's go to Thomas on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Thomas, what's up?
Hey, Paul. Yeah, I'm just chiming in. I love the hate with the interdivisional hate going out to the Jags.
There is a little bit of that going on, too, I will admit. I'm rooting against Lawrence, too. So there's that. But I also am unsold. Anyway, Thomas, continue.
Well, so, I mean, I kind of look at them as like the little bros in the in the division. So I'd rather them win versus Titans and Colts. So I'll be rooting for them. And as far as the Trevor Lawrence stuff, I mean, I agree with you. Like, he doesn't need to be put on a pedestal. But I think if I was to put myself in that position, I'd be rooting for, like, I would see a lot of positive signs, you know, like, I'd definitely take the whole Urban Meyer saga and try to throw that gear out the window. And I think if you look at that staff, I think Marvin Jones, going in the year, I would have guessed Marvin Jones would have been, like, the top receiver. And then you had a bunch of reclamation projects with, like, Evan Ingram and Zay Jones. And I think he's elevated. And even Christian Kirk, they signed that, gave him a lot of money for no reason.
Kirk statistically had a year that's lived up to what he's getting paid. And everyone dumped on that contract. You're right about that, Thomas. Zay Jones has had a pretty impressive stretch down the season as well. And, yeah, you're right. There is a degree of he has, I think, gotten more out of those guys around him than you'd expect. You also have Travis Etienne at running back. And appreciate the phone call, Thomas. There is some credit to give to Trevor Lawrence, no doubt. And this is the funny thing when you say a guy is not as good as everyone makes him out to be. People are going to hear it as you saying that the guy's bad. But I am expecting another meltdown like I saw on Saturday night. I am. because that's the last playoff moment that I have to go off of. That's what I'm basing this opinion that he's not going to play well on Saturday against on. And I'm also rooting for it as someone who follows the Houston Texans. 713-780-3776 to call in. To text in as well. Todd, the show brings up on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. 12 to 17 interceptions in 2021 to 25 to 8 is a definite improvement. No doubt. I mean, any quarterback's going to step forward from year one to year two. But we were billed Trevor Lawrence as God. Oh, the Jets, they missed out because they didn't get him at the number one overall pick. Obviously, they didn't want Zach Wilson. I don't know why they were into Zach Wilson. But there are other quarterbacks that the Jets could have taken there. You know, like Justin Fields, for example.
It is funny how that draft ended up now. Where, like, Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, their entire lives were 1 and 2 in the same class in Georgia. They both went to high school in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And they were quarterback 1 and 2 the entire way, all the way in
up the draft. The Jets are like Zach Wilson.
Through the college football playoff where they played each other and Fields won.
Yeah.
And then, like, because Zach Wilson played, like, 10 awful teams and then threw going to the left across his body pass in his workout.
Oh, my God.
Number 2 pick.
Seriously.
Trey Lance, he didn't play his last year. Number 3 pick.
It was so obvious that Wilson wasn't going to work out, Zach Wilson. It was so obvious, and yet the Jets still did it. And that's why the Jets are the Jets. Ooh, Joe Douglas had a great draft class this past year. Right. And he still drafted Zach Wilson. Like, that is just so Jets. It's so on brand. And if they had Mac Jones, they make the playoffs this year. I think they do. Like, Mac Jones had a bad year. He's been very pouty, whiny, etc. All those things that you don't like to see in a quarterback. But I think that Mac Jones with Mike LaFleur would have worked out. And also, the Jets fired Mike LaFleur like it was his fault for Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson's still on the roster. Mike LaFleur's gone. Like,
they mutually parted ways.
So anyway, like,
they mutually parted ways.
Sure. Yeah, you're mutually. Right. I forgot we talked about that yesterday. Look, and this is what I'm telling people that are mad about the Texans having the number 2 overall pick. Like, the Jets butchered it so badly. That is why you're probably having some shock and fear about being into that number 2 spot. The Jets messed it up because they're idiots. Woody Johnson, massive moron. Awful. Awful. Wasn't he like our ambassador to another country too?
I want to say Ireland.
How are we not at war with them? I'm surprised that we haven't like somehow accidentally nuked Ireland because of Woody Johnson. Jeez,
there might have been another potato famine if he stayed around longer.
I might have to go to Ireland to fight against Woody Johnson, you know. Anyway, sorry, that's a weird tangent. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I do want to talk about how much of a turd Odell Beckham Jr. is. In the last segment, one last call because we are the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We got Steven. Steven, what's up?
Hey, big Derek Carr fan and everything. I thought he did you better than Mark Davis. We don't think highly of. Just want to say I've heard the big scuttlebutt right now is Douglas at the GM up at the Jets because of the way Wilson played. I think Derek Carr would be a great fit for the Jets and that he could take him to the playoffs. I've also heard the Saints and, of course, the interplay. The Buccaneers, if Brady leaves, and also, what do you think about him being a Texan? Why not? He's got to be better than Davis Mills. I just want to get your thoughts about that.
Honestly, Steven, I don't hate the idea of Derek Carr on the Houston Texans. One, it would be funny. Now, you're a Derek Carr fan, clearly. I'm a Derek Carr press conference fan because there's always a little bit of like agitation and emotion in his voice as he speaks with his strangely Southern accent. Like, that part of it is what I'm excited about that every single week. Especially as if the season goes downhill, progressively tougher and tougher questions asked of him as if it is his fault. Carr had a great year last year. He did. And I think that New York would be a good landing spot for him. I think the Jets, though, are trying to talk to themselves into the idea that Tom Brady might go there. The Dolphins are doing the same thing, too. Carr and the Dolphins. Would you hate that? I think that's one that's not being thought of a whole lot. What were the other teams that he mentioned? He mentioned the Saints. Do have Chris Olave. Look, he's going to be a good pickup for somebody next year. I'm not the biggest fan, but he's not a bad player. I think he's like quarterback 14, 15, yeah. Something like that.
He's like a solid pro quarterback.
The Jets literally just needed not an idiot at quarterback this season, and they would be in the playoffs. They really would be. You know, poor Mike White, he's probably got like 8 broken ribs. He comes back in after like 12 doctors to take a look at his ribs. And they're like, yep, dude, your organs are going to get punctured if you play. And he's like, well, I need another one. Like, good for Mike White. He's trying to get out there. But like Mike White, clearly better than Zach Wilson. It really is. You drafted like a 6-foot-nothing kid from BYU to play in New York City for a fan base that hates their lives and gets mad about everything and expects the worst of everything at all times before getting weirdly optimistic for like 5 seconds every single offseason around the NFL draft. Like, you knew this wasn't going to work. You knew there was no chance of it working out. And they took Wilson. If they had taken Mac Jones second overall, that legitimately would have been a better pick. So I just want people to remember that with the Texans at that number two overall spot. It's not the end of the world that they're there. It's not. There's still a chance Bryce Young could fall to you at pick number two. The Colts have the fourth pick. They're probably going to try to trade with Chicago to get to the number one pick. Do you trust the Colts to do the right thing? A lot of things up in the air. The Texans, a lot of things to be mad about. A lot of things to be concerned about. A lot of reasons to doubt. There are other idiots in the NFL, too. Just remember that. Paul Galacho, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show with Paul Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring Paul Gallant alongside special guest Paul Gallant. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
I'm going to keep sounding like I'm defending Kyle McNair, the Texans ownership, but compared to Woody Johnson, yeah, I will. He was the ambassador to the United Kingdom. We trusted him with our oldest allies. Are you kidding me? And look, I love Ireland. I am mostly Irish. Ireland, a little bit different being the ambassador to there than being the ambassador to the United Kingdom. Oh, my God. Also, he is a spawn of Big Pharma. So, you know, like he just comes from the best stock of people.
That makes him seem like he was like born in a test tube. He's the stock of Big Pharma.
Probably was. That's what Big Pharma does. Anyway, sorry. I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole. Maybe we'll leave that for
Big Pharma coming after us.
whatever. You
Save
know what?
For Twitch.
Hey, at least we'll make some headlines. Paul Gallant, take it down.
No, they'll take us out silently. It's Big Pharma, dude. Yeah,
that's true. That's true. I guess I won't be able to eat or drink anything. But I'm intermittent fasting. It's fine. Hey, I want to talk about something that finally got out into the open. The body cam video of Odell Beckham Jr. being removed from that flight in November that we talked about where he flew from Miami to Los Angeles early in the morning. Did we not guess that Odell Beckham Jr. had been clubbing the night before? Well, we got some confirmation from that. Here was the write-up. Newly released body camera footage shows the moments police officers escorted popular NFL player. It's kind of funny because he doesn't have a team. Odell Beckham Jr., so they have to say NFL player, off a plane at Miami International Airport in November. The flight crew told officers they were concerned for Beckham's safety. Pause for a second. I do think from time to time, flight attendants like to flex their power. I remember experiencing this when I was 13 years old, sitting up in a row that did not have a seat to put my bag underneath. So I had this small bag that had like my Game Boy in it and a book. And I put the bag underneath my armrest. I was in the window seat. The flight attendant saw it and got really mad at me. Like, why didn't you put your bag in the overhead bin? And I was like, I mean, I'm just going to put it here. And then she went off on a since 9/11 speech about like how you have to listen to flight attendants. And I was like, okay, lady. My mom even got annoyed with how, like, kind of aggressively angry she was with me. I was 13, you know? And I looked very young for my age, too. Whatever. That's neither here nor there. Sometimes flight attendants flex a little bit too much. We all know it. However, the flight crew told officers they were concerned for Beckham's safety. Are you really concerned? It's a plane. Whatever. I got to stop. After they attempted to wake him in order for him to fasten his seatbelt. If you're going to get on the plane and you're going to fall asleep right away, just fasten the seatbelt. Is it annoying? Yeah, but you can fasten it and literally have it as loose as you possibly can, too, if that's so uncomfortable for you.
I get how he'd forget, though, because he's I'm just assuming in this story, Odell Beckham is drunk.
Probably. The captain had to return the plane back to the gate. Beckham said he was sleeping hard, tired from traveling, and told the crew he'd been clubbing. A flight attendant, though, in the video that was released, said, do you know how long it was taking him to put his seatbelt on? The person who was in charge of eventually trying to ameliorate the situation and was unable to said, if you don't want him to fly, that's a decision you guys are going to have to make. Unfortunately, it's not our decision. So they returned to the gate. As they returned to the gate, here's the confirmation that Odell Beckham Jr. is the absolute bleeping worst. As a frustrated passenger who was like, wait, we're deplaning because of this jackass, said something like, hey, how about you get off the plane too? And Odell Beckham Jr. goes off on a tangent.
I would never, ever in my life get off the plane for you, specifically you. Maybe everybody else, I would get off the plane. Don't mean nothing to me. Ain't no way you could look at me. Ever, ever.
Guys, just don't just
you gonna wait 40 minutes, and I'm gonna be on a private plane home.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, I will.
Enjoy yourself. Then he says, like, go get a cheese plate or something like that. Look, I've always suspected he's a raging douche canoe. I've always suspected this. And it goes back to a time where he tweeted this. I guess you can laugh at it when you see it for what it really is. I retweeted it and said, so meta, dude. And he tweeted a bunch of angry things at me, deleted all of them, and then blocked me. So I'm blocked by Odell Beckham Jr. on Twitter because I just made fun of one of his, like one of the many stupid posts that athletes put up. It's the new away message from when you were 12 using AOL Instant Messenger.
Have you seen the tweet that is like, here's how in a quarterback's tweet, and it's like, I love God and my family.
Yeah.
And, like, offensive linemen are just like, derp. And then wide receivers, it's the enemy speaks kindly but holds a knife.
Yeah, Brandy Cook's tweets.
Yeah, the wide receivers are the most cryptic, like, you'd
think. And Deshaun Watson, but yes.
Yeah, but you'd think that it's like, oh my God, what is going on? It's like, I don't know, someone probably left him on red.
Seriously. And the funny thing was, Odell Beckham Jr. talking about this after it all happened, before the body cam footage came out, where he's just being a raging jerk to somebody who's like, why are we getting off the plane for you? Drunky.
Also, I don't understand, like, so he didn't put on a seatbelt.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't he have just been like, I can't, sorry, can you help me? And then they'll put it on for you. I've seen him put it on people.
He apparently took his pants off.
Can't be doing that.
Put his, I think, hands on the
tray?
The tray table, right, and was, like, lying on it. Like, some people, you'll see people on a plane, like, they'll fall asleep, like, sitting on, like, falling asleep headfirst on it. I don't know how people sleep like that, but some people do. Whatever the case, in this situation, he looks like the absolute worst, and it's really funny because of what he said after the fact. Never in my life have I experienced what just happened to me. I've seen it all. Comedy Hour. He tweeted that on that day. Clearly thinking none of this would ever get out.
Maybe he was talking about his roast of fat people. Maybe that was the Comedy Hour. It was like, hey, go get a cheeseburger, fatso.
It probably was, honestly, now that I think about it, Sean. I think you're right. Then his lawyer writing this the day of. The overzealous flight attendant refused to simply allow Mr. Beckham to fasten his seatbelt and proceed with the flight and instead immediately removed everyone from the plane. At no time was Mr. Beckham disruptive or combative. It actually doesn't seem like he was disruptive or combative. I will say that. He was willing to comply with the seatbelt requirement, but the flight attendant wanted to prove that he had the authority to have Mr. Beckham removed from the flight. The airline proceeded to send Mr. Beckham's luggage to Los Angeles without him. I also will say it does seem like the flight attendant was flexing in this situation.
Yeah,
just a smidgen.
It's possible that two people are in the wrong here.
I agree. I totally agree. Odell Beckham Jr., exactly who you thought he was. Big thanks to everybody who tuned in to the Paul Gallant Show today, the Saxters, the Twitchers, and the callers on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, and of course, Sean Mapes behind the glass. So long, farewell. Enjoy the playoff games this weekend. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
No, Dewey, you don't want this.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.